Welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. Over the past 20 years, I've worked in beauty, luxury, corporate, and service-driven industries. I created the opportunity in these careers and in my own businesses that allowed me to travel the world, experience once-in-a-lifetime events, and build brands while providing my expertise to clients all around the globe. Life is short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. If you are ready to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, this is the show for you. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today. Tune in every week to hear from myself, other entrepreneurs, professional patients, small business owners, and fellow podcasters who will be featured on the show. I'm here to remind you to work hard, share your story, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today's episode starts now. Hello, hello, and welcome back to a brand new show. Today's episode has been recorded specifically for the I Chose This Life series, where I get to share conversations I've had with fellow entrepreneurs. If you are somebody looking to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, or if you're just craving some personal development content, or you just like some great conversations, today's episode is for you. And here comes today's guest.
Welcome, Rachel. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited for today.
I know. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Now, I want to give a quick little intro of everything that you have going on right now. So you are a wonderful mom of five, a very busy business owner of multiple successful businesses. You're a lawyer, a military spouse, a triathlete, an author, and also the host of the Business Bites podcast. What else am I missing here that you can drop in for us?
That's about everything. That's a lot of stuff right there.
Oh my gosh. So today I want to talk to you about, I really want to know how you started off your career. Let's start there. How did you get to where you are right now?
Oh, I'll have to shorten it for you guys. I mean, because this is 15 plus years in the making, but I kind of always knew that I didn't fit into a regular box. Like in school, I was always critiquing the teachers on how they could have their file system better or their classroom arranged. I didn't want to sit in my seat and that sort of thing. Like, I was always just not one to fit into a box. And so I was in undergrad college, met my husband, and we had baby number one, and I was still going to school. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, at the tender age of 20, I realized that, you know what? I'm going to finish my degree, but I still don't want to be in the box for someone else. And it was less about the fact that I didn't think I couldn't do it. It was more about that I didn't want to do it, right? I didn't want to fill the pockets and goals of somebody else. So from there, I went to business school thinking that's what you had to do. And mind you guys, this was the time when this freemium model of information, like podcasts and a lot of things that I went out to, was not readily available. I mean, we're talking MySpace days. Blogs were just kind of happening, but social media wasn't nearly what it is now. And so at the time, there wasn't a lot of information on the web to learn about how to run a business. So I was like, well, let me go to business school. And I did that. And I share it to say that I think it was a good experience, but I've seen many successful entrepreneurs that didn't take that expensive path. And I've learned more actually just doing rather than what I learned getting my MBA. But anyways, in that process, at that time, I was also trying to figure out like what I want to do for myself. I dabbled in owning an online fashion apparel store, did some graphic design for a while. And during that process, I was learning, again, the information was not at the fingertips out there. I was learning how to set up legally and otherwise a business, how to strategically get into marketing, et cetera. And other people would start asking me questions about it as well as I was trying to grow my own businesses. And then I was like, you know what? I think a good add-on to this would be to go to law school. And I had kind of in the back of my mind always thought, well, law school is a good thing to do. I'm a good debater. I love to argue. Ask my parents, ask my husband. And law school would be great. I'll go. And if this entrepreneurship thing doesn't work out, then I can be a criminal prosecutor. Well, during those, I realized there's a great need. As this freemium model of information has grown, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all that has exploded, as well as online blogs, etc. I kind of positioned myself into niche footholds, providing legal and business strategy information in different specific industries. So instead of just being like a general lawyer that talks to everyone, I carved out very specific industries to talk to. And it was interesting, if you ever go to my website, rachelfranke.com, and you look at the industries, they mirror a lot of what the bio is that you just read about me.
Mm-hmm.
All things that I'm interested in. I just didn't just pick like a random industry. It's something that I've either been an athlete in. I do a lot of stuff for fitness entrepreneurs. For photographers, I did photography as part of some of my business consulting services for clients during my MBA in law school. So everything that I'm providing, something that I've actively done as an entrepreneur myself. And then the podcast is kind of a culmination of all of that. So here we are.
You know what I love about you? I love that, one, you said that 15-year span. There are so many entrepreneurs online right now that think that they're going to be, you know, they're really doing it for the money. They're not passionate. They haven't put all the work in over, you know, the last decade, last 15 years, like trial and error. Let's try this route. Let's open this business. Like, that's what makes us who we are today. And there's so much instant gratification on social media, especially now, where there are all these channels. I started blogging like over a decade ago when it was only Twitter. You can only tweet. It's like a whole nother world now where there's so much video involved and all of that. And so I love that you just mentioned that, but also you created something that should exist. You saw something that you were passionate about and you created it. So that's like my number one. I love that you went ahead and did that and that you are very specific in who you are helping and you are experienced in that. And you saw something that just needed to happen and you created it. And now look where you are today. That's an incredible story.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, what's interesting is those that are listening now in this year go, well, there's a lot of people out there sharing legal information. Yes, now. There was not a lot when mm-hmm. I first started doing this. And so I feel like I was one of the first few people. But even still, if you look within the legal industry, those that are providing information that in this type of way, through podcasts and the way that you and I do it, a lot of attorneys aren't even doing that. So and I share that to say, one, don't look around and go, oh my gosh, there's all these other X, whatever industry that you're in doing this. You go, oh, I shouldn't do that. In fact, sometimes I'll get overwhelmed and I'll go, oh my gosh, there's so many lawyers that are also doing what I'm doing. Then I remind myself, I'm also an entrepreneur. I've worked in other businesses other than mm-hmm. law, so I can provide that perspective. And then on the flip side, I can look around and go, you know, it feels like a lot of lawyers are providing all this information, but it's really a minor compared to the entire pool of lawyers that are available out there. So don't ever sit and think, oh my gosh, there's so many people doing something. And you know, it's interesting. There was like a kind of memes, whatever you call them, floating around. It was a picture of a bread aisle and it said something to the effect of, basically the premise was, make bread if you want to make bread. And it's showing, because even though there's hundreds of types of bread, someone's still going to buy your bread. That I really completely botched that. I need to go find.
I do that all the time. I hate when that happens. I'm like, why can't I remember at this moment? But I totally get what you're saying. And I love those too.
And you know, it's just interesting that I did come in at an interesting time where I saw a need in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always needs now. And I feel like we've swung. And I think we kind of went down the path here of your question, but I think we've swung from this side where there was not a lot of information available on the internet to now you had to pay for it then, were behind paywalls and sales pages, et cetera, to this, everywhere you go, you can be completely overwhelmed. And so for me, even now still, 15 plus years into this, when I start looking at other people doing what I'm doing and I start thinking, wow, why should I continue doing this? I refocus myself back to, what is my unique selling proposition? You know, I'm that loaf of bread. How am I different than the loaf of bread next to me, and what will make a consumer pick me? And that was what got me started, and that's what keeps me going too, just to know that I can have a unique set. Because not everyone wants an attorney like me with a nose ring and red jeans,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there's a lot that do, creatives, but feel more comfortable with that. So it's looking at it from a perspective, if you're getting overwhelmed, I just recenter myself and go, unique selling proposition, am I communicating this, and how can I continue this, and know that it'll be effective that way.
I love that, and I appreciate that so much. I feel like that's what happened with podcasting. When I launched my show almost 3 years ago, everybody online was asking me how I did it, so I created a program for it, and now everyone is doing it. So that's exactly what I've decided to do now. My focus is strictly my show, rather than, I have almost 20 shows I've produced now. So I think I'm kind of like at the end where I am like reshifting everything, which I love. Now, I see that like watching everything online that you do and posting, and you're obviously a driven person, but do you think that you became even more driven to get the success in the businesses, not necessarily the success, but just creating more and providing more for your family after you got sick? Do you think that gave you like an extra push, even though you were already motivated before?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is it's not just the cancer. It was like a timeline of events. My husband was in and out to like deployments in Iraq. I was having our kids and we were moving around a lot. And so it was almost a combination, a perfect storm, if you will, that was kind of nice that it forced me into entrepreneurship, because going in the legal field, I mean, you have people from all sides telling you, and the law school and parents and all of this. My parents are super supportive, but, you know, society is telling you, well, you've got to be an astute. You've got to be in a 9-to-5. That's what a lawyer does. And I feel like it would have been, I would have started probably questioning myself a lot more in my choice at the time. Because remember, because a lot of people weren't doing it. I can't think of anybody who was doing it at the time. So it wasn't like I had anyone to look to and go, oh, I can do that too. I feel like if I didn't have almost those constraints of moving and needing flexibility and childcare was astronomical and et cetera, kind of forcing me to keep pushing with the entrepreneurship. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it, but I think that that helped to light the fire a bit more. So yeah, I am driven, but I do think the idea that my family needed the money, we had these circumstances, and I was, and I'm lucky that I had a spouse at the time too, who was able to help financially support while I was in the growth stages. So that kind of helped as well. But yeah, I think I always say you never know what you can do until it's sink or swim time. And we were in this period that I needed to swim, and I did, and it worked out. Now, not to say, I was thinking about this earlier when you were talking, I have some brands that have failed. That not necessarily failed, but I've decided not to continue to cultivate them, either because my interests have changed or because I just simply don't want to continue doing them. For example, one of the industries that I was targeting was blogging. Since I do blogging, I mean, that's what it is. They're all blogs. I was like, well, let me talk to bloggers, and then also let me talk to podcasters. And I had set them up to be their own distinct brands at the time, and it got to be so overwhelming that I had failed back because I had so many other irons in the fire. I pulled those back under like the Rachel Brankey umbrella with the podcast, so you can find those, and they're not the bread and butter, but there's still resources that are available out there. So I share that to say, super driven to do X, Y, and Z. I'm still driven when I get ideas, but I think it's being smart within recognizing this is not working. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to scrap it, just kind of reshape it. So instead of a full website, like the pod legally stuff is now bundles and courses on the Rachel Brankey website. So instead of being a full-fledged whole thing, it's a smaller one. And I think that skill right there, to answer your question, which I've had to develop over the years, though, has helped me to be smartly driven. And we were joking before we got on here that my podcast manager, he's paid the big bucks to deal with me and wrangle me, but that's because I get so passionate, excited about all these projects that my team has to rein me in. I have to rein myself in. I think that's an issue for a lot of entrepreneurs, but if you can really get yourself to a point that you can learn that balance, that's where you're going to see real growth. And so be driven, but don't be driven recklessly.
Oh, I love that. I love that you just said that. Now, being a mom of five, something I preach all the time is you have to be organized. If you saw my planner, I have a whole highlighting system. It's insane. Color-coded the whole nine, multiple calendars. I mean, that's excessive. But something I preach again is like just you always have to find your own way and how to be organized. So as a mom of five, what kind of tips can you give our listeners that are moms? I have a lot of moms that listen to this show that kind of keep you on your toes or kind of set things in a great expansive way when you're running a business and have a family.
Calendars. I mean, honestly, like we sit down and I talk about this actually, it's the very first episode of my podcast. how I look at everything. And I'm not perfect on this, right, when I share this example with you guys, but it's something that does help me. I call it filling the rocks first. And it's a visual or mental representation of your calendar. So take a glass vase, and then you have a bucket of sand, and you have these rocks. The sand represents all the other things you need to do that aren't necessarily priority important, they're your business, etc. But the rocks are the things that are your whys. And, you know, I sometimes cringe at that statement, but they're the most important non-negotiables in your life. So, like, for me, it's going to be kids' activities, family time, family vacation, self-improvement, including, like, exercise, self-care, and that sort of stuff. So think about it. If you sit down and you don't do a calendar, you don't get strategic, and you decide, I'm going to open a business, I'm going to be driven recklessly, and you pour the sand into the vase first, and then you try to fit in these rocks that represent the most important things in your life, you're going to be trying to cram them into the vase, and the vase is going to break or they're not going to fit. So you have to reverse engineer it. And this is exactly how we approach the calendar too, is we take the rock, all the things that we want to do, our goals, our kids' activities, and it's within reason, that goes in the vase first, and then we pour in the sand so that business and everything else goes around the most important thing in business. That being said, it sounds so simplistic. Sometimes life isn't that simplistic. So you're going to have shifting that goes on. I have to be flexible. But for me, as an example, one of my big things of self-care is exercise. And it is, I don't know, the term self-care, I feel like, is so overused and cliche now. But
you need it to survive to be your best self. That's how I feel. If I don't have it, I'm off.
Well, Sam, that's my thing. It's like, if I don't, it's my team will joke. They'll go, did you get your run in today? Yeah. What? Fancy or testy? But it's true. Like, if I go and get exercise, oh, I know I need exercise first thing in the morning. So I put it on my calendar and it's blocked off. I don't have meetings then because it won't happen later in the day. Just, you know, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it sets me up for a more productive year day doing it that way. So that's one of my rocks, is that goes in first on the calendar. And we do color coding all of that. It integrates with our family so that I know what my husband's doing. My husband knows what I have. I at least speak with my parents so the parents know what the kids have got going on. And it's the only way that I can keep everything together.
Do you prefer a handwritten calendar or digital? Or do you use both?
Digital mostly.
That's where I'm moving everything now. I've always had to write things down for my memory. And now I'm like, I need everything online now. It makes it so much easier.
It integrates with like my calendar for podcast stuff. And then we don't do the double booking. Yeah, everything just got it all intricately tied together so that it blocks things off.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love everything organization. Now I want to kind of shift into legal. You probably don't know this about me, but I'm actually representing myself in 5 medical malpractice cases at the moment. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's probably harder than getting misdiagnosed, to be honest with you. I spent 6 months prepping my cases. I should be done soon. And they started in June. And the only reason why I did this was because over 100 attorneys wouldn't take my case because I'm still alive. And so long story short, I'm going to be taking the bar in a couple of years. And like you said earlier, which I was so excited, I'm like, I can't wait to talk about legal, because there's certain things that are missing in the healthcare system that tie in with the legal as well. And so I'm actually creating a product that will help everybody, being the patient, the doctor, the attorney, the caregiver, like anybody involved in somebody's healthcare journey. And so while creating this product, I'm like, there's such a niche that needs to be available for patients that, you know, can't afford an attorney full right, or need to learn how to represent themselves because they want to, or just certain pockets. So I love that, you know, when I was reading your bios and I was really like doing my research, I'm a huge like research person. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just love that she went into legal. Like, she's representing so many types of business owners in different markets, like, because she has that experience. And that's what I'm doing, because I have the experience now from the legal aspect as well as the patient. So like, I want to create a specific thing, which legally I can't say right now, but I'm just so passionate and excited about it. So when you, when you're working with clients, like what do you think is, say, like two or three things that clients come to you? Because I've heard you say a lot, you know, misconceptions. What do you think like the top two or three misconceptions where, you know, it's going to be, like you've said before, it's going to be so much more money for you to deal with the legal than just pay for someone to look over your profile. So other than that, like what are some things that being a lawyer that somebody were like for myself, for example, were come to you, what would you say to them first?
This is a little hard for me to answer because the majority of people who come to me, they already know me online. So they already know I'm not the typical attorney. So I feel like I do a fairly good job, pat myself on the back, of breaking the mold of what typical attorneys are. We really emphasize, at least for our firm, virtual base. So we have attorneys that work for us across the U.S. You don't ever have to step foot in a door to see us. We can do everything flexibly, phone, Zoom, whatever. There are multiple reasons for that, but since we primarily service entrepreneurs, that is a huge attractive one. But a misconception typically is oh, I'm going to have to go and schlep in there, see the attorney, dress up, and all. I'm like, no, sit at home, get a cup of coffee, let's talk on the phone. I'll be in my pajamas and coffee. And we do have offices, but we don't like force our clients necessarily to come in unless they have to, because we're really trying to raise a flexible lifestyle.
But I love that you do that too, because it's so much more comfortable. I love that you do that too, because it's so much, it makes the client so much more comfortable and at ease, I feel like, especially when it is something legal. Like a lot of people are so afraid as soon as you say legal or attorney or anything like that. So I love that that's a part of it.
Well, you know, it also depends on who you're working with and the type of, some of you listening are going, oh, I would hate that. I want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to meet you at the office and get dressed up. I've got a collection of shoes that I love to wear out. So yeah. But for the most part, the people that we serve as want that flexibility. And so that could be a misconception. You know, other lawyers are going to want you to come in, but we don't necessarily. We give you the option, right? So it's a misconception. We get a lot. I think another one, too, and this is going to depend on the industry you're in. And like any other industry, the people have different business practices. So for us, we, again, because we're serving entrepreneurs who are extremely busy, we mm-hmm. do the virtual aspect. We also, for us, we don't do free consultation. We do, but we don't. Let me explain this. So what we'll do is we have set it up so that we're very virtual based. We have a lot of online forms. You submit a lot of information, or you can call and talk to my gal, Lauren, best client relations manager ever, and give us all your information. And I'll do an internal, like, consultative review so that it's flexible for my time, but also so that you don't necessarily have to carve out time for me just to tell you you don't have a case and you don't have to waste your time coming in, etc. And so for me, I'm sharing that to say, like, we're a little different. Other attorneys say, yeah, sure, we'll do a free consultation, come on in. Well, you may have to come on in and schlep down there for them to tell you you have no case.
Mm-hmm.
I go ahead and do an internal review of everything before we ever get on the phone, so we don't waste anybody's time. You'll know. And then our initial meeting is an actual legal strategy meeting. And so I recommend, if you are looking for a business attorney, try to find someone that has more of this approach, especially if you're a super busy entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can cut through, you cut off one meeting. You'll already have provided all the information. They'll know the right questions to ask. And that first meeting will be truly productive, because I find that the old school legal way of come in, do a free consultation, all of that is just really burdensome for entrepreneurs, and mm-hmm. there's no reason for it in this virtual world.
I absolutely agree, and I love your process, because time is money and everybody's busy, and just to waste that hour of, like you said, like schlep all the way down, have the conversation, like what's the point? Just get it over with or move on, you know?
Well, and you know, the thing too is, like, we sometimes get people who are like, what? You won't talk to me for free? And it's like, well, no, but Rachel spent 45 minutes reviewing your case, digging around the internet. Like,
yeah.
She did it. You just weren't sitting there staring at her at the office while she did it. You know, so, and then I think another big one is people automatically assume that lawyers are so expensive. And yes, I get it. I'm going to share with you guys. You know, I've already shared my story. During this, I wasn't an attorney. In fact, let me do the math real quick. Hold on. I can't do math in public.
What year was it?
Hold on. Oh, so it was 10. So I was already 10 years into, well, just shy of 10 years before I ever went to law school as being an entrepreneur. So when I was setting up, it wasn't like I was an attorney from the very beginning and I had this money, etc. We had we did not have a lot of money when I started my businesses, but I knew how important it was relatively from the beginning to invest in this. And I see this is a classic example I see all the time. Entrepreneurs come in and let's say they want to have like services contract for their business. And they'll go, all right, well, how much does it cost? And you know, we'll tell them, we'll go, oh, I don't want to spend that. Let's draw out a number. I'll say 800 because it maybe takes 2 to 3 hours to draft it. And I go, oh, no, even though they're going to use it like hundreds of times, right? It's not like $800 for one contract. But inevitably, within a year and a half, they're coming back because they've had a problem because they wrote their own contract. And then it ends up costing thousands of dollars plus time. And I think that's even what's more important, time and energy away from their businesses to clean up the mess. And it just breaks my heart because I see many businesses in their first few years and they're, I get it. Like I sympathize. You don't necessarily have the 800 up front, but you have the 8,000 when you get sued. Probably not. So it's kind of, it really is an investment in prevention of issues. And so, yes.
I mean, honestly.
It's more expensive, but guess what? Having an issue is way more expensive. And it's more than just the cash out of your pocket. It is putting time and energy away from dealing with legal stuff and dealing with me on the phone when you have an issue on the back end that you could be putting into your marketing, in your business, in your family. Which is a family first.
And I like that you said investment, because just think like from a personal aspect, we're investing in organic produce so that we live longer. We're investing in better quality food and things in our everyday lives to, you know, elongate our lives and more time with our families. And this is the same thing for like a business.
You know, and one of the top issues that I'm seeing is often legal problems don't come up necessarily because you do something. Like you don't do something illegal, or your client doesn't necessarily purposely break the contract. The issues come up from miscommunication. And contracts are like one of the, and this is only one piece of like the legal puzzle for y'all, but contracts are a great way to reduce confusion, reduce potential misconceptions and miscommunications. And that has great benefits beyond just legal protection. You build up your buyer's confidence in the customer or client that is, you know, coming to you. You're preventing issues, so you're maintaining the relationship. You just said the word like elongate. You're making the lifespan of your business longer, but you're also, what's the word I'm looking for? You're building up the goodwill by not having issues, proper stuff in place with your customers and clients, which are going to bring you more, and it snowballs and it becomes a big thing and a big good thing for you as opposed to a big bad thing because you didn't start from the very beginning. And so don't freak out if you're listening going, oh my gosh, I don't have any of the legal stuff. You can do it at any time. You just need to do it before an issue happens. And don't sit here and think, well, I haven't had an issue, so I'm not going to worry about it. You never have an issue until you have one, and then it's too late. It costs more time, money, and energy to clean it up, and I hate that for you guys.
That's so true. Now, what do you have going on, or what do you have coming up that you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I don't know. You know, I don't know when you're going to be airing this, but we're sitting amidst the coronavirus fear craze right now, so conferences and seminars and a lot of events that I had coming up in the next few months have all been canceled or they're being rescheduled. I don't really, honestly, I'm wanting to know with all these doors closing, what is going to open now. So I'm just going to stay the course working on my podcast. And one of the big things that I'm committing to this year is you can't get a guest on that you don't ask for. You know, you just got to make the ask. And that's something I'm really committing myself to do for the rest of this year.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, where can everybody find you? I'm going to put all these links in the show notes. Where should everybody head to? Your website, obviously your podcast.
Yeah, you guys can find everything at rachelbranke.com. And that's kind of the mothership. It has a link to all the different niche blogs that I have, as well as the Business Bites podcast, which is a short form podcast for busy entrepreneurs, no fluff, no mess, to get right to the point on things. It is solo and interview style sometimes, and that drips out weekly. And there's also a free legal checklist there if you guys want to snag some of like the top legal things that entrepreneurs need to be aware of. It can just run through that. It's printable, so you can fill it out or you can type into it. and that'll get you going. You can take this to a local attorney, or you can reach out and we can try to help you guys find some resources, give you some podcast episodes to help you with your education.
Oh, that's so excellent. You guys, I'm going to drop all those links in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, of course. This was awesome. I look forward to doing it again.
Your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you carving out a little piece of your day to listen to today's episode. If you liked this one, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. Listening on Apple Podcasts? I would love it if you would leave me a review on today's show. Your input means so much and also helps me create more of the content you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? You can join us in the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Simply answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself and to get the latest in business, LinkedIn, organizing, and podcasting news, sign up to receive my weekly newsletter at thehappyworkaholic.com. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.